Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for December the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kirk Crosby's not with the broadcast anymore. Lowell Nelson's on vacation, but he'll be back. We have extended time going forward planned for Dr. Scott Bradley and Lowell Nelson and many others, so expect that to happen. First hour, we had on Dr. Scott Bradley with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. And we talked about the Electoral College. They're voting today. How does the Electoral College work? What was the intent? Why the Electoral College, etc.? We discussed it in detail last hour. The need for the Electoral College is critical because of the checks and balances that our founding fathers so wisely put in place, ladies and gentlemen. We are not a democracy. I don't care which college professor tells you that. They're lying to you. Either that or they're completely ignorant. Don't know which, don't care. But their manipulation of the truth, words mean things, folks. Their manipulation of the truth does matter. Because when you think we're a democracy, you think that the power of the people is all there is. Popular vote's the only thing that matters. That's not true. Okay, your vote was supposed to matter. You were supposed to have an influence, without a doubt. But the democracy intent was to be tempered. So are there democratic principles in our constitutional republic? Yes, along with many other principles. But let's understand, your vote matters, without a doubt, but your vote was meant to be tempered. Okay, your vote was meant to have checks and balances against it so that one state didn't have too much power. We didn't have the big states with too much power and the small states to not have a seat at the table, or vice versa. The checks and balances are designed to give everybody appropriate reality. In other words, fair weight, if you will. With that summary, though, now people believe we have a constitutional crisis on our hands. And I believe we're certainly dangerously coming close to disassembling the greatest country on the face of the earth. The founders felt like there was a source above government that was God. And they appealed to that God, and we became a covenant people. And the covenant people must keep our covenant if we want to keep our country. If we keep our covenant, we will be blessed with liberty and safety. And if we don't keep our covenant, which is turn to God and keep his commandments, if we don't keep the checks and balances in place designed to restrict power, to not seek for power, but to pull it down, then we're in serious trouble. And that's not meant to be a negative statement, but it is meant to be a reality check for we the people. So, ladies and gentlemen, this hour, the good doctor remained with me. And I want to talk about a lot of these proposals. President Trump lost the Supreme Court decision, and everyone's in a frenzy to decide what to do. I have ideas of what can be done, but they're not as immediate. They're not as drastic as other proposals. So let's talk about a couple of the proposals on the table, doctor. And then we can talk about what we believe the real solution to be. First, some are saying, can Trump just cite massive evidence of fraud in the presidential election to nullify the November 3rd popular vote and order a new election requiring valid ID and just circumvent the courts and say, listen, I have the power here. I'm not going to allow fraud to happen. That's one idea. Some are saying it can happen by executive order. He can basically go ahead and say, oh, no, you got foreign interference in our votes. Therefore, by executive order, I set up a decree to reject this vote. Some are saying that Trump can get a reversal in Congress. Trump allies think they can engineer this. And Congress can go ahead and roll it back and then let Congress decide. Sidney Powell says Trump could trigger 2018 executive order. It's going to blow the mind of every citizen in the country. Joe Kovacs writes that piece, but highlights Sidney Powell's proposal. You think the election is over? Think again. Janet Porter reveals, quote, the Trump card in an executive order on foreign interference. Janet Porter is a president of Faith to Action. She's the architect of the pro-life heartbeat bill. She also hosts her own radio show. Others are saying we can have a petition. All we got to do is have a petition to the White House. Petition, quote, we the people of the United States request President Trump invoke an insurrection act to take back our republic and the military. I appreciate the efforts of everyone, but I personally find all of those solutions lacking and somewhat ignorant of the truth, Doctor?
You know, it's interesting. We could talk at length about each one of those things, and there certainly is not enough time to do so. But let me just, a couple of things. I want people to settle in their mind a little bit. First of all, have you ever been lied to by the government? And I think everybody has to say, when have we not been? I mean, whether it's the Kennedy assassination or the 9/11 report or the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, we've taken some momentous actions based upon falsehoods that have been told to us. That's number one thing to think about. Number two is that whatever happens, we know will ultimately be repeated by someone that you may not think is absolutely a stellar performer. Let's just take, for example, you may think that a given person would never abuse power. They would never do the wrong thing. They would do the right thing, and it happens to be the line that you think ought to be done. But I assure you that power will flip at some point, and the power that's exercised by your favorite individual will ultimately be used against you by someone else. And that's why we have these processes in place that are defined, and they're specific, and they're exact in the way they be carried out. And this idea that, oh, if enough people petition the president, we can overthrow something. Well, what if enough Marxists petition the president? Let's say you got 100,000 signs on the petition and they got 1,000,000. Suddenly, are we to become a Marxist regime?
Or let's just say that they have the same 100,000 you have, except they're more influential people that already have sought for and found favor with power. So their vote matters more than yours, even though the numbers are the same. See, we have the
Absolutely.
Same problem, but the point is still the same.
And you know, people go back to the Magna Carta, you know, in 1215, and point 61 says you've got the right of redress, and that means if you complain, you get it addressed, and you can do anything, including burn down the castle if you want, in order to get your way. That is not the way our government works. There are defined processes by which they go. And let's just give an example of how this thing turn about, fair play kind of thing. When Obama and Harry Reid in the Senate, they dumped the idea of cloture, 60 votes being necessary to bring a vote to the floor. And it's like I said, you know what? You may think that, I mean, they may think they cut a fat hog and they're going to get their way with this. It will be used against them. And that absolutely has been in bringing about the judicial nominees and the confirmation through the Senate when under Trump they ignored the cloture thing too. So it will flip on us. It will come about. We've got to use defined processes, and as President Washington said, make it an authentic act. You can't do things by guess and by golly. And virtually all of these solutions that are being out there, this idea of declaring martial law, there isn't a constitutional word about martial law. This idea, if Trump declares it, why couldn't some future president declare it? And martial law is military law, and that's what was unconstitutionally imposed upon the South during, I call it, the deconstruction of the South, instead of the reconstruction of the South that the history books try and talk about it. They were oppressed by military rule, military tribunals, and if you want America to devolve into something like that, follow some of these paths. This is not the way to do it. There is still a pathway that the truth can be able to prevail, but people will have to stand tall in their oaths. And ultimately and finally, I mean, after you go through all the processes of challenges of electors and everything that's supposed to happen when Congress does open them, and it still can happen, but if we have a bunch of mamby-pamby, spineless individuals that are sitting in office, which I got to admit is pretty much the whole lot of them, there's probably a few rare exceptions, but if all you have in there is mamby-pamby, spineless political hacks, it's going to be a problem, but the electoral vote can still be challenged, and there's a process by which that's done. And if nobody gets the full vote, it devolves to a one-state, one-vote kind of thing in the House for the president.
All right, so let's stop here for a second and say this. The first thing to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to let the Electoral College vote, for crying out loud, okay? We've had a cow since November 3rd. And legitimately, there has been problems, and I get the frustration and concern and worry in people's minds. I understand and agree with that. But I also say, you can't try to circumvent the Electoral College as if it's already decided when it's not. Now, I know they say, well, the Electoral College is just going to vote for Biden. They might. They probably will. I get it. But you got to let that play out first. And when that happens, what's the next remedy? And the answer is we don't need to think outside the box to 96 crazy ideas that the president can stand on his head on the National Mall and shout edicts of truth or reality. That isn't how the system works, okay? We don't need to do all these shenanigans. What we need to do is follow the process, Doctor.
Indeed, and when they are opened by the Senate, in the joint of Senate and House, with Pence presiding, each one of those votes has the privilege of being challenged, and that triggers a debate in each of the respective houses over that. And the houses need to come back with a decision. Now, you may come back with a split decision, and if nobody can come up with the 270 votes, then it goes to the House, where the House then on one state, one vote. Now, here's the deal. There's over half, and I don't remember the number because I think that the House is still a little bit in flux. But let's say it's 26, 27 of the states have a majority of Republicans that are sitting in the House of Representatives. And so those, if the Republicans stayed together and voted partisan-wise, those 26 votes, or 27, whatever it is, would probably vote for Trump. There's a succession process that the 20th Amendment allows to have happen that has been legislatively created. Do we need to take a break? I seem to be talking over the music.
Yeah, you're doing perfect, sir. We'll take a quick break, come right back. Everybody else is talking about all these crazy plans. Why don't we talk about the process and follow it? Is that crazy?
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I'm proposing, ladies and gentlemen, we not put all these crazy ideas on the table like seceding from the Union, launching an Article 5 convention, having the president declare an edict, using executive orders, calling in the military, all these crazy ideas. Wait, hold, stop, hold on, people. Why don't we follow the process laid out in the supreme law of our land, Doctor?
Well, you know, there's so many things in so little time, but if you look at Amendment 20, under Section 3, it talks about, first of all, it talks about the president becoming president on the 20th of January, okay? But if you get down to Section 3, if the president-elect have failed to qualify, well, let's just go a sentence before. If the president shall not have been chosen before the time fixed for the beginning of the term.
Now, let me stop you there for a second. So, ladies and gentlemen, they've anticipated if all the deadlines are broken or don't, you know, carry their prospective responsibilities and everything breaks down, then here's the founding father prescription. Okay, understand, well, this is not just a redneck, we don't even know what to do now. There's a plan for this, doctor.
Well, there was, but their original plan in 1792, I think, was better than this one. But let's just go with what they've amended the Constitution to be, because that is what's on the books right now. So if the president hasn't been chosen by the beginning of the term, or the president-elect shall have failed to qualify. Okay, now then we can talk about qualifying. And then,
by the way, I think what you need to do is arrest Joe Biden for criminal activity, and therefore, as a criminal, he wouldn't qualify. He'd be a felon. But that's another topic.
That's another topic, too. But you can talk about constitutional qualification with a natural-born citizen and all that kind of stuff. I'll maybe just touch on that with a sentence or two in just a minute. If the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the vice president-elect shall act as president until the president shall have qualified.
Okay, hey, stop. Now, so we've already got the vice president, Mike Pence, in place, who can carry out those duties until this gets resolved. That's very simple and clear, right?
But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be an effort to have the vice president that they think ought to be qualified, which would be Kamala Harris. But the fact of the matter is, my strongly held opinion is that in accordance with the American Founding Fathers' original intent with natural-born citizens, she does not qualify. Both her parents were not citizens of the United States when she was born in California. I believe it was 1964. But at any rate, the American Founding Fathers, in their definition based upon the Law of Nations, which is written by Vattel and used by the founders when they wrote things, and based upon the 1792 Citizenship or Naturalization Act, the citizenship follows the parent. Okay, so Kamala Harris does not qualify according to the American Founders. Now, we've had a court case in 1982 called Plyler v. Doe, in which Brennan, by a footnote, changed the original intent of the Founding Fathers. That's another discussion. But at any rate, going on here with the 20th Amendment.
But before we get there, really quick, so the number one, there's a lot of things along the way that have led us further and further and further from dealing with constitutional qualifications for someone to be president. We've chipped away at that big time as well. Again, the people have tolerated it. They should not have. They should be educated and say, there's a reason for this. Fidelity to the greatest country on the face of the earth being paramount. Nevertheless, that being set aside, even if the challenge goes to the vice president, the only vice president that's been elected right now is Mike Pence, because Harris has not been elected. Even if the Electoral College votes in the affirmative, there's still not a completion there if it's challenged.
That is correct. And the challenging process begins at the opening of the, well, of course, there could have been before certification and everything before today when the electors voted. But in the opening of those electors' votes, they can be challenged, and they're deferred to the House and the Senate in separate meetings to address those issues. They come back, and they bring their conclusion together. This can be an acrimonious and drawn-out kind of process, and it can go on for an extended period of time. And they look at the 20th Amendment and say, well, we're going to put the president in on the 20th day of January, but it says here in the third section, if that hasn't brought to that conclusion, then there is a process. Now, this is where we get to the Congress in the next sentence. The Congress may by law provide for the case wherein neither a president-elect nor a vice president-elect have qualified. So they haven't been voted in, declaring who shall then act as president. So by law, they've created a presidential succession kind of thing. They call it the Presidential Succession Act of 1947, and that has who takes charge of the existing people. And basically what it would boil down to is that Nancy Pelosi would resign as Speaker of the House. She would become president until there is a qualified president. Now, the law is very specific on the election process. Now, of course, in the case of death and all this kind of stuff, there's a process that goes into place, and we're not talking about that right
now. But let me be very clear to those who would riot about Pelosi and kind of have a cow about that, the conservatives among the group. Look, I'm not a fan of Pelosi, But I'm telling you right now, I have a lot more comfort in the process, even if Nancy Pelosi does get to that spot via the process, than I do these random proposals for solutions outside of that. Because if we stick with the process, we have checks and balances so far as they have not disassembled them to make sure that no one grabs too much power. And that's the whole reason that I keep harping on this, because every other plan, once you take it outside of the prescribed prescription or subscribed prescription here, you get into a scenario where all bets are off and who does what. You give somebody too much power, you give an inch, they'll take a mile. If you use the process, you still have a handle on the power grab, right?
Well, again, and what a lot of people are proposing, and this is kind of a visual that is kind of crude maybe, is they're going to run down the hallway and throw hand grenades in each door they pass and hope they come up with something good. And it's not the way to come up with something good. So there is a defined process, the Presidential Succession Act of 1947, and it says that the House Speaker will take over. And then there's another sequence of, you know, the Senate President pro tem and everything like that. But while they're waiting for that, there's this issue of the House would ultimately have to vote by state. So the state would say, in Utah, for example, I can assure you that it would go to Donald Trump, because Utah has four congressional offices, but only one vote can be given.
So now let's be very clear. This winner-take-all is what allows one vote to be given now, to where the states are treated with equality here. Even though Utah only has four, and California may have whatever number, 50 plus.
It has 53 members of the House.
Okay,
so 53.
So
they'll get one vote.
They'll get one, we'll get one. This is a way of equalizing. Again, this is where the checks and balances do its very best. Is it perfect? No. But it does its very best to truly align fairly power amongst the big and the small. Okay, and this is really critical
done.
To understand. It was purposely done, but it's critical to understand these checks and balances, because that's what takes us away from the democracy status. That's what takes us away from somebody grabbing too much power. Otherwise, California declares the president, right? Okay, so we've got to have a balance here, and this is where this brilliance, and this is why I continue to say we have got to follow the process and stick to the pattern, Doctor.
No question. And originally, going back to the 1787 time frame, if Virginia and New York, the two biggest population states with the most footprint, if you will, were going to run everything, none of the other states would have come in. This was stuff that said, no, wait a minute. We are a constitutional republic. It's a federation, but it's a national government. They vary based upon where the power is assigned. But the fact of the matter is, the other states would have said, no, we're not coming in when Virginia and New York are going to run over us every time we look around. So all of this stuff was by design. But when the states end up voting, ultimately, one state, one vote, and then that'll choose the president ultimately. And if the Senate ends up voting, also one state, one vote, they're going to choose the vice president. Now, that if this election in Georgia is critical, because if the Democrats take the majority in the Senate, they'll probably put Joe Biden in as the president. And if the Republicans take it, the vice president. If the Republicans take the Senate and it goes to this point, the Republicans in the Senate, the majority vote, will probably put Trump in, which is a rather interesting thing if it went something different in the House. You know, so, I mean, I kind of made a leap there. If Trump did not get in because some untoward thing that happened in the election in the House, and let's say they put Biden in, well, the Senate, if it had the majority of the senators were Republican, they'd probably put Trump in, and that would be a replay of the of the thing that Adams and Jefferson played out in the third term of the first part of the nation's presidencies. At any rate, so there is a process defined, and people need to go out and review these presidential succession acts, and they need to understand there is a defined process. It may be faulty, but it is there, and it is what we have, and throwing hand grenades in different rooms as you run down the hall is not going to come out with a good solution.
And when you say it may be faulty, it's your way of saying it's not perfect, and I understand that. However, I submit to you that it's a lot less perilous to go down that defined process with checks and balances, using the consent of the governed as the model. We're way less faulty there than we are with any other plan I've seen being put forward. Remember that.
your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
New incriminating information into Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden's son. According to Saturday's New York Post report, Hunter Biden received nearly $500,000 to sit on the board of a Ukrainian gas company, Burisma, but the money was never disclosed in his 2014 tax return. The Justice Department's investigation into Hunter, which has been ongoing since 2018, despite President-elect Joe Biden's claim there was no investigation. An armed gunman was fatally shot by the New York Police Department on Sunday after he began firing indiscriminate rounds during a Christmas concert outside a church in New York City. No one else was hurt. China is days away from becoming the third country to bring moon rocks back to Earth. China's state news agency announced Sunday that the country's lunar probe, Chang'e 5, had completed its second orbital maneuver and began to slingshot back to Earth. The craft is expected to land in China's Inner Mongolia region later this week. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
The product that you have given me here is, as far as I'm concerned, sent to me from heaven. I love it a great deal. It's hard to find anything that's real nowadays. I enjoy it immensely. It's making my life so much better. I feel so much better. And during this pandemic, I have no worries whatsoever. My immune system has got to be at a top-notch level. I don't seem to get colds or anything. I don't know what getting sick is anymore. This is so cool.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
The Cleveland Indians are making a change after 105 years. USA Radio News' Dan Naraki fills us in.
The Cleveland Indians will be changing their nickname. According to a report from the New York Times, the club could announce the change as soon as this week. The franchise has been known as the Indians since 1915, going by the Naps, the Bronchos, and the Blues since their founding in 1901. The change comes more than 2 years after the club began to distance itself from the Chief Wahoo logo that had been labeled insensitive to indigenous peoples. Cleveland becoming the latest sports team to change a nickname that's been the target of accusations of racism. Washington's NFL franchise announced back in January it would drop its former moniker. The change will reportedly go into effect for the 2021 MLB season. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
An announcement on the change is expected this week. The woes continue for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sunday Night Football last night, the Buffalo Bills beat the Steelers 26-15. This is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm submitting to you that, yeah, you know what? The current plan by the Founding Fathers, it is the supreme law. Let's be very clear about that, number one. Number two, it's been time-tested for decades and longer, and it isn't perfect. But I submit to you that at least it seeks to control power and prevent individuals and or groups or whatever from having too much power. And at least there's a process in place that's been time-tested and thought through by the Founding Fathers with the same problems we face today. They understood it. And you know what? It may not be perfect, but it's better than any other plan. Any other plan completely takes us outside of a proper process and puts us in unknown territory instantly. And I submit to you, that's fraught with peril. Doctor?
Okay, I'm in the 1947 Succession Act. And I'll just quote directly from it. If by reason of death, resignation, removal from office, inability or failure to qualify, there is neither a president nor vice president to discharge the powers and duties of the office of president, then the Speaker of the House of Representatives shall, upon his resignation, in this case it would be a female resignation, as Speaker and as Representative of Congress, act as president. And we jump down a couple of other sentences. If his discharge of the duties and powers of the office is found in whole or in part on the failure of both the president-elect and vice president-elect to qualify, then he shall only act until a president or vice president qualifies. Okay, so Pelosi's not in forever, if that's the case. We've got to go through the process. And really, the only thing constitutionally defined is the 20th of January, when they should have a solution. But if we don't qualify by then, according to the 20th Amendment, then we've got this legislatively created succession process that goes into. But it's only until they finally make a selection. So this could be drawn on for even a more extended period of time. But it's like I go back, you know me, I go back and look at the history and figure that there's some things to be learned there. When there was all this acrimony about if Jefferson or Burr was going to be elected president on this first go around after the Adams presidency, they went on and on and on and on. I've reviewed all of the letters that Jefferson wrote during that period of time. And not all of them are about what's going to happen with the election, but in no instance do I find him hyperventilating about the Constitution's going to unravel, we're never going to have the nation again, and blah, 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 blah. And he's very nonplussed about it. It's basically, ho-hum, I guess they're going to figure this out sooner or later. And they did, and the nation continued. And in those days, the nation was very young. It was not nearly as soundly founded, perhaps, if you will, with experience and this well-established process, you know, that has in place. So here we go. Let's go back to the Declaration. Prudence indeed, Declaration of Independence, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. Okay, so mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they're accustomed. What we're having here now is something that's been long established. It's something that's, we've found it to be durable. And now there's a lot of people that are, figuratively speaking, talking about running down the hall, throwing hand grenades in each room they pass. And Jefferson captured this in the Declaration of Independence, say, you know, it's not a good idea to throw things off just because. And at the point that they had come to in this Declaration of Independence in 1776 was we've tried everything that needed to happen. And we have this tyrant king that, you know, has 27 offenses that are each one worthy of rebellion. But you know what? We aren't at that point in this nation. We still have a foundation.
In fact, let's be clear. We're not even close to that point if we take our responsibilities in the checks and balances seriously. When they asked what kind of government we have, they said it was a constitutional republic. You have a republic if you can keep it. We need to talk about morality in the people. We need to talk about letting the process unfold. My headline for this whole thing, after all these different proposals, from petitions to declaring martial law to executive orders to, all the insurrection. Okay, what about this headline? The supreme law of our land, the U.S. Constitution, already has a plan, an established process in place. Can we please just follow it? That's my headline, Doctor.
Well, I've been pleading with people to do that for decades. But the ignorance of we the people has led to this complicit situation where I think ignorant people vote in ignorant representatives. And sadly, I believe that very often those that hold office are the least qualified to do so. I mean, I look at the noble efforts in the beginning. I mean, they picked George Washington because he was this consummate leader, magnificent, would never abuse power kind of guy. And the Electoral College worked. They elected him unanimously twice because they saw in him that kind of leader, of quality of a man and everything like that. And we have been electing lessers for so long, it's absolutely astonishing. We people that do the lesser of two evil things, you know, I mean, they're still evil. And we have come to the point, sadly, in America where the people care so little. I mean, they claim to care. I mean, you have passionate people marching in the streets, but they couldn't find a clause in the Constitution. They don't even know what a clause is in the Constitution, most of them. They don't know that that is what everyone takes an oath to uphold. I took an oath. I've never held office. But I took an oath when I was 18 years old to uphold the United States Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. There's no expiration date on that. It's something that you take for life. You don't, you know, when you take the uniform off, you say, oh, okay, well, I don't care about this country anymore or whatever. No, this has been a passion that should be with all of us. Now, government should not be central in our lives, but we must have enough government to make sure that justice is done, that this the definition of welfare, promote the general welfare, found in both the preamble and in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. Welfare is not redistributing wealth. It's not anything whatsoever to do with the dole or anything like that. The way the founders defined welfare, it was predictable and it was stable. So we had a government. The idea was to make it predictable and stable. There's no foreign intervention or invasion. There's no domestic violence or unrest. There's not supposed to be an economic upheaval because we've got a Federal Reserve in there. We had sound money. They knew that courts would adjudicate justly. That's what they were seeking. And Americans have turned the welfare clause into a redistribution of wealth instead of what it was originally intended to be, this stable, predictable government where, you know, a guy and a gal could get married and start a family, put their farm up, or they could do a grocery store, or they could maybe become a teamster, whatever they wanted to do, because they knew that whatever they did, the government would allow justice to happen and it would not interfere or destroy. That's where government fits. It's not to become the knows-all, ends-all, be-all, where entitlements, for example, the national government take almost two-thirds of every penny that comes into the nation because now we're redistributing our wealth, and it's become unstable and unpredictable because of that. And what we have now with our election is because we've abandoned that stable, predictable process by which the founders were hoping that we and our posterity can enjoy our liberty. It's a travesty and a tragic situation that we've allowed to happen. And we, the people, have got to become more involved and engaged in understanding in order to preserve it.
And people need to understand this. I know everybody says, yeah, I know, Sam, I agree with you. In general, you're right. But right now we're in a panic. Right now we're in a crisis. Right now we got an emergency. Right now we got to do something different. Once things calm down, Sam, then your idea is a good one. And we could certainly go there and talk about it, Sam. After this election, after this emergency, and I submit to you that this plan, these processes were put in place for, I wouldn't call it emergency, but for such situations, okay? The remedy was designed for these situations. We are not in a panic. We are not in an emergency. The biggest emergency, in my opinion, is to stop, to some degree, evil people, and to another degree, well-meaning people, from doing more damage by jettisoning the process too early. Jettisoning the process for what they see as, what, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence idea? Okay, we have got to settle down a minute and say, hold on. This is not a crisis if we follow the plan. If we allow the process, the supreme law of the land process, I might add, to work, doctor.
You know, it's interesting to me that, you know, first of all, we're going to reuse whatever we do now to our detriment later on when somebody else comes to power that maybe is less honorable. But let's talk about this for a second. I don't know how many have done any hunting or anything like that. But normally, if, let's say, a pheasant or a rabbit gets under pressure and they panic, it's the wrong thing to do, and they end up having a problem getting killed by the hunter. Bad decisions are made when the panic mode is the button is pushed. Stop panicking, take a deep breath, a chill pill, and start acting like adults that have an already defined plan.
And adults that have sacred respect for that plan that has served us for over 200 years, providing more freedom to more people than anywhere.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
What do they say? An ounce of prevention better than a pound of cure? Ladies and gentlemen, what the mainstream press and what bureaucrats are doing, and well-meaning sometimes, but ignorant, as well as evil people, are really trying to create a panic in the people, ladies and gentlemen. And what we need to do is understand the supreme law of our land. It already has a plan. It already has a process. Let's spend a whole lot more time understanding and learning about and applying the process than thinking up alternative ways. We don't want the president to gain too much power. I get that it's Trump and you think he's a good guy and you think he can do no wrong and you think that he'll go ahead and just, you know, use that power with circumspect fidelity and carefulness and caution, and but it'll be used again against you. Do not grant that kind of power to the president. We have no business granting executive orders. We had no business with the commander-in-chief, you know, subscribing them or the military into this thing. What we need to do is settle down. We don't need to write a new plan. We don't need to, okay, we just need to simply follow the process. And we don't need panic in the people. And I believe that ignorance and apathy is what's creating panic in the people. They don't realize that the founding fathers already anticipated this and laid out the way to go. Let's just follow it, ladies and gentlemen. That's my advice to all the folks that are coming out this weekend with solution after solution, after idea after idea after idea. None of their ideas have been tried or tested. None of their ideas have passed muster with stability or been put into place by appropriate legislative reality. Okay, none of them. And so I appreciate everybody's attempts, and I get their concern, and I get their worry, and I get their panicked reactions. But let's not react. Let's act with intention based on the supreme law, doctor.
You know, I'll give you an example or two. You know, I know time is always short, but the fact of the matter is, let's just take a quick example of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is Article 1, Section 9. That's, you know, the idea you can't be arrested and not have, you know, hearing to see if there's cause for you being held. You know, and the idea of that was a keystone in this. You know, the king used to lock people up and leave them there forever, but the founding fathers said, no, that can't happen. And, you know, it's a congressional, it's a legislative power found in Article 1. Okay, well, during the Civil War, so called, not very civil, and so on, the idea that the president could suspend habeas corpus occurred. Lincoln suspended habeas corpus, and he did it unconstitutionally.
And by the way, shame on him for doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was done improperly, and this is one of the big problems that's continued forward. Well, why I bring this one up is the fact that, you know, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. It's a legislative power. And so what did the legislature do? These fools, I could say it more strongly, in Congress, said, oh, Well, we'll just delegate that authority to the president then. It's ours and we'll give it away. No, you can't do that. Constitutional protocol says if the people, by their consent, gave you through the Constitution the power to do something, it may not be redelegated to anybody else. Not to a president, not to a... It can't go to a foreign power under a treaty. It can't do anything. You hold it, you use it, or you don't as a legislature. But that's not what happened during the Civil War. These fools in Congress delegated to the president, again, unconstitutionally, so it really wasn't. But the president continued to use that as President Lincoln and continued to do dastardly things in this country. But after the war was over, it all went away. What happened in 1871? The president there decided, well, this is a presidential power now. Is the habeas corpus suspension things have continued to be considered to be part of the presidential powers now because some fools in Congress unconstitutionally did something. It will be wrongly used. If you start saying, oh, we're going to call out the tanks on the streets and with, this is a good cause, and as we talked about earlier, how President Washington in his farewell address said, don't do things that way. Do it through an authentic act of the whole people if you got to change it, if something's wrong, but don't do it by yes and by golly. Well, if the president calls tanks onto the streets or whatever, however people invasion this thing, some president at some point will say, like we've been lied to, weapons of mass destruction, the 9/11 thing, the Kennedy assassination, almost everything that comes out is somehow spun with a falsehood to get us all. You look at the bombs that have gone off in Syria that brought us into the Syrian war that were probably false flag operations that they were attempting to drag the United States into the war, and it was successfully done to some degree. These things we find out later are lies. There were no weapons of mass destruction under Saddam Hussein, or whatever they call him.
And even if there were, we have a supreme law process of how we should go about it, even so.
Exactly. But no, they whipped the people into a frenzy. They're beating the war drums. I mean, remember the Maine. I mean, you look at how many times this has been used. I mean, fortunately with Lusitania, we didn't just jump right into World War One, but that was an attempt to bring the United States into World War One. Look at Pearl Harbor. That what happened there as baiting that was carried out at the highest levels of this nation. We have been sucker punched so many times, and if you get scared, like these scared rabbits or pheasants I mentioned earlier, and if they rabbit, they run, whatever, at the wrong time, they end up, you know, losing it. So what we've got to do is take a deep breath. We've got to look at our back trail. If you get lost, sit down, look back, assess your tools and your resources. And we have some magnificent tools and resources as a nation. We have a back trail. It's well marked. We can find our way back to home base, if you will. But if all we're going to do is rabbit every time somebody pushes a panic button, and by the way, the whole COVID thing, I think, was completely orchestrated, in part at least, to build fear and doubt and anguish and hopelessness and despair in the nation. And then they changed by executive order and court order the process by which electors are selected. I mean, all of this stuff, it mushrooms as we lose our sanity. And we, the people, have become stupidly involved in things, and we've played into the hands of those that are waiting there to pick us off, if you will, from our liberty.
Now, I'm submitting to you that all the proposals that I'm hearing are bogus. I don't mean to be offensive to a lot of good patriots who mean well, but I submit to you we need to do two things, Doctor. Well, three, really. One, we need to have morality back in the people, and we need to repent as the people and turn to our God. But that's a given. But the two political things we need to do right now is, one, use the supreme process. It's already there. Let's not panic. You don't need to think of other plans. The Electoral College hasn't even voted yet. Okay? And once they do, if they vote wrongly, we can challenge that. There's a process. So let's not panic and run off the rails. The second thing we can and need to do is, if there's criminal activity at the highest levels of our government, we need to prosecute that criminal activity to the fullest extent of the law. Okay? We need to have an appropriate trial. We need to have appropriate due process. Again, there's a plan there also. But if we steadily pursue those two things, we don't have a panic situation at all. And half the people that we're concerned they're going to be taking over power won't be, because they'll be in jail. Okay, and you know what? We need to pursue these criminal activities. And if I'm wrong and there's due process that says, hey, they're not guilty, then fine. But we need to pursue that. And if Joe Biden has committed criminal acts, we need to try him on those and prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. Same with Kamala Harris. Same with Hunter Biden. Same with Hillary and Bill Clinton. Same with Barack Obama, if he spied on the Trump campaign, etc. But we're not pursuing any of those things either. We've got to create accountability, sir, and we've got to follow the process. And if we do those things, we wouldn't have panic in the country. Which media organization is going to lead out on this like Liberty Roundtable Live is, Doctor? Anybody?
Well, it's certainly not any of the lame brain major medias that are out there. And I use that term lame brain probably more lightly than I should. I mean, there is an approved agenda. It's not just an agenda. It's a narrative. And whether it's the COVID narrative that has been promoted and in spite of the fact, okay, let's look at that for just a second and then this political thing. There are other reasoned, intelligent, very well-spoken subject matter experts that are out there that are not being heard. Now, for example, you've advertised my website and stuff a few times in the process of this thing. My website has been under complete attack. I haven't looked this morning again, but I'm assuming that, again, it has been had the legs chopped out from underneath it. It's not even available at this point. Sometimes, well, during the past week, I've had it up for a total of one day because there's a concerted assault on the messages that are out there. But the mainstream, the not just narrative, but it's a script that's being used, and the other reasoned voices are being shut down. This is by design. This is in violation of everything Americanist, the hearing of other opinions. We've gone down that path with the COVID stuff, and it's proving more and more every day that we have been lied to again. And that's the same thing with this political process that we're facing today in the presidential selection process. We have been lied to so thoroughly that we have to be able to stand tall and educate ourselves and understand the baseline principles and organize and participate based upon upholding those standards.
What do you think of my two proposals?
I think they're good proposals. I truly do. And I hope that we'll be wise enough to follow them. I hope we don't rabbit and end up getting killed by the hunters that are waiting for the rabbit to panic, you know?
So, the reason that I pursue the two different channels that I do is, one, it appeals to the supreme law of our land and follows the process. Secondly, it does its very best to pull down power, to bust up and shine the light on secret combinations that have gotten above the people and create accountability. If we do that, plus have morality in the people again, there's nothing that can stop us from being the greatest country on the face of the earth, providing more liberty to more people in the history of the world than any other country. We can continue on that track, but if we don't do those three things, I'm telling you right now, I don't know that there's anything that can save us.
Well, and that's George Washington spoke of the fact in his inaugural address that public and private virtue would be the basis of our nation, both public and private. And as John Adams said, as we mentioned earlier, that a religious and a moral people are required to have this. And we've strayed far, but I trust that there are good and moral people, religious people, godly people. And there's differences in belief systems and, you know, how to, you know, people believe. But religion and morality, and Jefferson spoke at length about this, and I know we're out of time, but he talked about those things that are common among all religions are what we've got to put our basis on. You know, this idea that, you know, honor killings and all this kind of nonsense, that's not common to all religions. That's a criminal endeavor. So Sharia
that's somebody who's literally obliterating religion, shanghaiing the religion for their own belligerent attempts and purposes. They've done that under the name of Christians over the centuries as well. So let's jettison that. Let's understand the founding fathers got the point you're making, and that's why Alex de Tocqueville or Alexis de Tocqueville basically said Americans are great, or America's great because Americans are good, and he meant good as in moral people, and that's what we've got to return to. Ladies and gentlemen, don't fall for the panicked lies. There are established processes. Let's get on our knees and pray to God. Let's repent as a people and become moral again. Let's demand the process be followed with regards to the president, and let's basically prosecute criminals to the fullest extent of the law. And I'm telling you, if we do those things, I think the world and the future looks fantastic for the greatest country on the face of the earth. For Dr. Scott Bradley, his website is freedomsrisingsun.com. Hopefully we can work out a way to have the thugs quit messing with it. We got to work on that with him. All right, for Sam and Dr. Bradley, we declare this nation shall endure.